an end of me. Stronger than I, there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. Your mercy, oh, your mercy. Worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You are great. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We praise your name. You are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. We worship you. 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 Hallelujah. We give you all the praise, God. You are the all-knowing God. You are the all-powerful. The King, and you can do anything. Hallelujah.
Father, we are thankful that we have the privilege to worship the only true God. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that you granted us grace to get to know you. So many in the world still do not know you. They haven't heard your name. They don't know who you are. They have no relationship. But Lord, O God, today we thank you, Lord, that we do not only know you. We are part of your family. We ask, O God, for the grace, the strength, the wisdom, the anointing, the favor, the ability to reach our fellow brothers and sisters who yet do not know you, that they too also may join hand in hand with us to worship you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who's loved us with an everlasting love, the one who's not allowed us to be left in the agora, the market of sin. You have not allowed us to be slaves. You've set us free by the wisdom of your anointings and by the power of your spirit. We are thankful for this. And we're thankful, Lord, O God, that your hand is upon our lives to reach those that are yet lost. That no one, O God, perish, but that all come to the place of believing and knowing you as their Father, knowing you as Redeemer, Savior, Healer, Peace Giver, the one who provides and meets every need. Thank you, Lord, for this. Help us be all things for your glory. And thank you, Father, for bringing Mama and I back home to see the family here and to celebrate your goodness together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to see you all. Missed you. And we're glad to be home and to enjoy the goodness of God together with you. I was saying, based on all the good things I heard, that maybe we should be traveling more because I see some changes up here on the stage, and I hear there's another saxophonist playing up here, and I say, wow, so many changes since we left. But that's all good news. Thank God for every one of you, and celebrate God's goodness. Well, today we continue in our studies in the book of Proverbs. We'll go on to the 16th chapter. And while you're going there, thank you to all those that served here on the altar while we were away, Pastor Paul and Pastor Pat and the rest of the gang that took positions and help carry things on. Proverbs 16 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. What an interesting verse of scripture. This particular verse can go in all kinds of directions and cover all kinds of things. But one thing that we can point out to is this, the preparations of the heart in man, the plannings, the putting together of the things in the heart of the man, he says, is from the Lord. Now, the word is an added word in the text because in my reading here, it is italics, which means it's added to make sense. But if we're to remove it, what we'll read is the preparations of the heart in man from the Lord, and the answer of the tongue from the Lord. Now, what does all of that end up meaning? Firstly, we can deduce from this that all the things that you are putting together, planning, trying to arrange, because that word preparations is the arrangements. If it is going to be from the Lord, then you have to be subject to the Lord. For your plans to be from the Lord, you have to have the mind of God. Because not all arrangements, not all mental dispositions are from the Lord. He tells us, he says, your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. So if it is going to be of the Lord, from the Lord, then you have to be subject to the Lord. So that the Lord then, when you are surrendered to him, you know that every thought that comes into you according to the word of God is from the Lord. And so you don't need to second guess yourself through life and waste unnecessary time. You know, many times people will hear me say, the Lord said something to me. Well, I didn't necessarily hear God saying, hello, Michael, attention, please. thus said the Lord. No, because I know that I am under his lordship. And I've not given room to the devil to speak any nonsense to my hearing. I am positioned, and if the thought comes, and I filter it, and I know the voice of God, I know God just said something to me. I don't have to second guess myself. Now, there are times when God will be very specific and say, things like, say, let there be Burger King. Well, that's a weird thought. That came from, and I can actually tell when God is speaking to me about something, whether he was standing on this side speaking to me or standing on this side speaking to me. I heard God and he spoke to me and I looked this way. Well, the preparations, the arrangements, the mental dispositions, when we are surrendered consistently to the Lord, we will know this is from the Lord. God just spoke to me. God just said to me, do this. For example, I'm sitting down there, and the Lord says, it's time for the LED screen. And this is how much you need. Go raise it. So I walk from there to here. Before I sat down there, I had nothing. But before I came from there to here, I had something. And now the Lord had to now begin to mold things and arrange things for me, give me the mental disposition to know what to do, how to do it, where to go. Now, my limitations are just like every other person's limitation. I was saying to somebody, you know, we were in China and in Japan, this trip that we went, and I was talking to somebody there that I have been dealing with. It's like a son to me now, a son and a friend at the same time. how God spoke to me. At about 3 a.m. in the morning, woke me up. Get your phone. Okay? Go to this website. I said, this website, they don't do small deals. They do things in bulk. So I said, go to that website. Scroll. I'm scrolling. He said, stop. I stop. Call this number. I call the number. And the voice on the other end was English. Well, I thought that call was only to deal with this screen. But that call, God saw much more than that. So many other aspects. That's the arrangement from the Lord. Putting things together. Things I couldn't imagine were part of that early morning call. When we met, everyone here, we met for a particular reason at a particular time, but we never could have imagined all the other things that God had in his mind. When I met Mama, I just met Mama. God spoke, gave direction, and look at that, I was just talking about this particular individual, and there he is giving me information about stuff that I asked for that I couldn't have imagined. When I met Mama, I didn't know about an Andrew or Adrian or Ashley or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren. I just saw Mama. But God had this arrangement. I did not see Winnipeg, but God had this arrangement. God will set you up to particular things. And when he sets you up, he also does another thing, which is the answer of the tongue. The answer of the tongue. That's when things are percolating and being put together inside of you, and he begins to cause you to speak in certain ways. And sometimes if something negative, something contrary is coming, he gives you the grace to know when to speak and to rebuke and to cut down or to affirm particular things. But those things, two things have to happen. The planning and the confession. They are needful. They are necessary. For every vision, for every purpose to be fulfilled. When you have the preparations of the heart, but you don't have the answer of the tongue from the Lord, you will not know what to do, what to say, how to address situations. You have no solution. You are a ship without a rudder, no control. You'll be controlled by the waves, and you have no sense of specific direction. I'm going from point A to point B. Your tongue helps to correct you and bring you in line with the plans. That is of utmost importance. Now, in the natural, your plans, your dispositions, and whatever else, they're perfect in your own eyes. How you carry yourself, everything is according to what you think, what you will, and so on and so forth. But what God does is that He deals with your heart to make certain that you are prepared for where you want to go. Please hear that. God deals with your heart to make certain that you are prepared to get to where you need to be. I'll say it a third time. God will deal with your heart. God knows where you should be. You may know where you should be, but God will deal with your heart to make sure that you get there. And not just get there, but stay there. Because it's one thing to get to the place that you want to get to. It's another thing to be able to keep it. And that takes place in your heart. God cannot take you to a place where unbelief will destabilize you. If you think about it, there are so many people that have been put in particular pedestals, place of honor, that they were not ready for, and that place of honor destroyed them. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. So God will not take you to a place where you cannot stay in a sustained manner. He'll have to work on you. So the Word of God says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. According to you, according to me, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be that. I deserve this. I deserve that. I should be here by now. Blah, blah, blah. I have worked hard and I should be at this point in my life at such and such a place. And God says, I don't think so. What do you mean you don't think so? I've been working hard to be here. No, if I get you there and I put you there now, you might lose your soul. You might be corrupted. You're not ready for this position. But I think I'm ready. I'm gifted. I'm anointed. I'm this. I'm yes, you are all of that, but your character still stinks. I'm going to bring you here, and somebody's going to do something, and before you know it, your pride and your arrogance, you're going to start talking foolishness and acting silly. So I'm not putting you there because I love you enough to bring you there safely and sustain you there rather than bringing you there, and when you get there, you fall apart like Humpty Dumpty. And you can be put together again. What do you want? The notoriety of what man thinks and defines as success? Or do you want me to bring you there? And when you get there, you're strong enough. Because every level in life invites different devils. Every level attracts different devils. And if you think you're going to use the same techniques that you use in grade one, and you think, I'm old enough, I should be in grade six now, and I will put you in grade six, you're going to flunk out. Because it's no longer 1 + 1 = 2. You're going to start seeing X's and Y's and Z's, 2X. You're going to start seeing brackets and exclamations and whatever, and you're going to be confused. I need to get you there step by step, brother. So God will weigh your spirit. The Lord weigheth the spirit. It's not about how you see yourself in your own eyes. It's how he sees you. And sometimes you may see yourself at this level, and God has weighed your spirit and says, no, 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 no. You're not at this level. You're at this level. Lord, I don't see that. It's not for you to see. I've weighed your spirit. And I know you cannot function here. This is not your level anymore. This is your level. But Lord, I'm clean, I'm perfect here. Yes, but you are not perfect as I see you. I need to take you here. But I'm not ready. It is not by your might, nor is it by your power. It is by my spirit. I will give you the answer to how you should respond at this next level. So what must I do then? He tells us in the third verse, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, it seems backwards. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Does my thought precede my works, or does my works precede my thoughts? And God says, no difference. As you're thinking it, the works are put in motion. I will help you arrange it. And with your words that come out of your mouth, they get established. Remember the word of the Lord in, Psalm 33 and verse 6, about how God spoke, and when he spoke, things were put in place, but then he commanded, and they were established. Well, verse 6 starts out, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And then the next verse goes on and says, let's go to verse 5. Let's see verse 5 first. Psalm 33, 5. The verse is somewhere around here. Anyway, let me just read from there. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Let's see verse 8. 9? Okay, verse 9. All right, verse 9. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Those are two things. He spoke, it was done. The speaking is part of that arrangement. Just like when you speak, you are really arranging things. As I'm speaking now, I'm arranging words. I'm bringing words together and arranging them, and those arrangements make sentences. Yes? And from sentences, you arrange and you have paragraphs. And then you have chapters. You have titles. Well, the same thing is happening as you are preparing. Arrangements are being done. But then God comes to that place where he brings the word of command to establish it. The same thing is true for you and I. God says, I want you to commit the works that you're doing unto me. What does that mean? It means that you surrender, no matter how smart you are. You say, God, I thank you for the privilege of being able to do this. And God will begin, because you've humbled yourself before him, he will begin to make certain that those things that you humbled yourself in thanksgiving before him to do, he's going to make sure that they all happen. You'll find a way. You and I need not worry about what people think or what people will do or not do. God has a billion ways of producing the answers that you need without the help of people who think they have control over your life. Let me say that again. People many times think they have power. Power, physical power, influential power, monetary power, and say, well, if I don't do this, he will not be able to do that. That may be true for a lot of people, but the fact is, God has a billion ways of addressing the situation without all of those people that think they have control. You find a way. He knows exactly what to do. He knows where everything is. And so whatever it is that you're doing, just commit to the Lord. Lord, this is what I want to do. I thank you for it. I give you praise. I thank you for the privilege of grant me the wisdom, the grace, the presence of mind to have this thought to do such and such. And I know that you have made provision for it already. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And says,
you'll need to unlock your iPhone first.
Thank you very much. Eavesdropper. God has all kinds of ways. So, for example, you want to buy this. This is going to cost you $20,000. That's the selling price. You only have $2,000. You don't have $20,000. And you think, I don't have $20,000. I cannot buy this. I cannot have this. And God looks at the situation and says, you got $2,000? Sold. So, but I don't have it. Yes, you do. What do you mean I do have it? God goes over there, tells that guy who has this, you need a new one of this. Get rid of this one. Where am I going to get rid of it? And you come in and say, would you like this? Yeah. I've been looking for something like this. Well, I'm getting rid of it. Oh, for how much? $2,000. Guess what? I have it now. I didn't pay $20,000. You think that's crazy? A lot of stuff that I end up doing, I do like that. God steps in, and thy thoughts shall be established. There will be a manifestation of it. There will be a manifestation of it. It's not based on what you think you have. It's based on the one that you have. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord. Everything, Lord, I'm doing as unto you. It says, your thoughts, those thoughts which are God's thoughts, surrendered thoughts, they will be established. What does that tell me? It tells me I should not stop dreaming. It tells me I should not stop believing. It tells me not to stop and quit. It tells me there are possibilities. In all kinds of ways, there are possibilities. Things can fall in place. You have a thought, it's going to be established. When your thoughts are to magnify him, to honor him, God will establish your thoughts. Don't stop thinking. Don't stop imagining. Don't stop dreaming. When it is about the Lord, he'll find a way to establish it. He'll bring somebody from Timbuktu to make it happen for you. He'll even send an angel. Dispatch an angel like a man. Come and help you accomplish something. You know, well, thank you, Lord. I was driving by St. Boniface about 3-4 years ago. By the St. Boniface Hospital, and there's a street that just turns off from St. Boniface. If you're going towards the hospital this way, it turns off. So I turned off on this street. I don't know why I turned off now, but anyway, I hit some pothole and my tire went flat immediately. Boom. I don't know how to fix nothing. My tire is flat. I am clueless on what to do. And I was running late for something. Here comes this guy with his kid and says, looks like you got some problems here. I said, yeah. He says, open your trunk, open my trunk, fiddles around, finds tools, goes. And I'm standing there, and he fixes everything. I'm watching this guy. He says, interesting. I normally don't bring my kid walking out from my house. I just felt like I should walk out with this kid today. And I'm saying, I know why you walked out. To fix my car. Well, I can stay there and say, but he didn't have to walk out if I didn't drive down this street and came into this pothole and wrecked my tire. But what was the point? The point is this, that God, even in the bad situation, was trying to show to me, I am watching over you. You see, so many times we cry and scream about bad situations and we don't look past that. So what is God doing in this situation? He has a way of establishing his will in your life. You know, so I can go through situations and say, I had a testimony there and I had a testimony here and this happened here and that happened there. And that. What does that do for me, ultimately? It tells me it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It is well. I don't know. There have been times, you don't know it, because sometimes you got to protect the flock. You know, fathers don't tell children all the bad stuff, protect their children, yeah? As a pastor, I have to do the same thing sometimes. There are times when the finances are horrible, really bad. When I say bad, I mean bad. And there are bills coming from all kinds of places. Do I come here? You know, those that give, givers, they're generous with their finances, they're generous with their time, they're generous with their giftings and abilities. But there are those that come to church and they could care less, you know. All they might think about is, I got bills, but they don't think the house of God has bills. And somebody has to carry all of that stuff. So, when you have your account going to the minus, what do? Pull your hair out? Scream, shout, twist people's arms, or do you stay quiet before the Lord and say, I commit my works unto you, Lord. Establish my thoughts. What thoughts do you want him to establish? Thoughts of lack or abundance? What do you say? What do you speak? What do you believe? So you pull back and say, God, you are faithful. Thank you. And before you know it, your empty bank account is filled by somebody from somewhere. Foop! The Lord led me to. I say, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now your faith is not in any man, it is in God. Showing himself strong. And what I've learned through the years is when things seem so tough, that's when God does certain things. It tells you to give, or then he might do something that is extraordinarily different. In the situation of a lack, God provides something that doesn't make any sense to you or to anybody else. Says, yeah. Hey, but God, if I have this, people are going to say this. Oh, you want their thoughts established or do you want my thoughts established? I have had things fall in place for me when things were the most difficult. That's when somebody comes and releases something into my life that put me in another place. I say, God, what would people say? Okay. You're now concerned about what people are going to say. Is that what I'm hearing you say? No, Lord, no. Not what I like what you say. I receive by faith what you have given to me. Thank you, Lord. Not what people say. He establishes your thoughts. Do you want to be blessed? Yes. Okay, here it is. Do you think God can bless you with, you know, when I use the word bless, we're already all blessed. Do you think God can give to you something from somebody that you don't know? They are in Kenya, they are in Tokyo, they are in Russia, in Moscow, they are in Timbuktu, and God can actually tell them about you and say, I want you to give this person such and such. It is you and I that limit God with our natural mindset. God can communicate with whoever it is he wants to communicate with, whenever he wants to communicate with them, and do extraordinary things. I had the testimony not too long ago about a lady. She had her children in the UK schooling, and things went sour for her financially, and she needed to bring those children back home. But even they brought these children back home, she didn't know how to handle situations. Things had gone sour. She's praying and crying out to God and crying out to God and crying out to God. And one day, God calls numbers to her. She writes up the numbers, says, call this phone. So she calls this particular phone number. The phone that she calls was a private phone number of a governor of another state. And that phone he used primarily to call the president. And now this woman calls that phone, and he doesn't walk around with this phone. That particular day, he just picked up the phone rang. And says, what do you want? How did you get this number? The woman states her situation and says, you know what? Now, this gets really crazy here. She's a Christian. This guy is Muslim. Answering the phone, she tells him about the problem and how God spoke to her to call this number, and he tells her, I don't use this phone. I only use this phone to call the president. So this must be God. What do you need? Tells her, he pays all the bills. Now, that's God. Now, that's not just a one-off. God can do amazing things. And today I want you to just hold on to that And say, God, you're God over my life. Look at verse 4. This is perfect. This based on the illustration I just gave. The Lord had made all things for himself. Everything he has made for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, even the wicked for the day of evil does not necessarily mean the day of evil that God created them to be destroyed in the day of evil. He's saying God created them even for the day of evil. The day of evil that's about to happen to you, God even created the wicked to help you. Hello? God has me covered. God has you covered. Please hear that. We're covered. Even if he has to use a mean, wicked, devilish, demon-possessed person to help you get through. It reminds me of this story. It was this lady. Believer, crying out to God. She had no money, she had no food. And she was crying out to God, God, provide for me. And there was an atheist next door. You know, this woman was so intense in her prayer. This atheist goes, buys all the groceries, brings it, puts it in front of her door, and rings the doorbell, takes off. And she comes out, and she sees all these groceries, and she began to give God thanks. Thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings. Thank you for providing for me. And as she is taking the stuff into her house, the guy comes out and says, hey, you think God provided that for you? I bought those stuff and I put it there. And the woman says, thank God, he even uses the devil. Yeah. True story. Even in a, God has all kinds of ways to meet your needs and meet my needs. So just rest. Even the wicked for the day of evil, when things are bad, even use the wicked to make sure that you are taken care of. And I'm excited about that goodness of God, that he loves us with an everlasting love. I don't know what God has in mind to do for you, but I do know he has something good on his mind for every one of us. He's the God of the turnaround. When we submit ourselves to him and we commit our ways to him, he will establish our thoughts. But this is what we must be careful about. What thoughts do you want God to establish? Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's right here. It's not far. Be careful for nothing, he says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I love verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It prescribes what our thought pattern should be like. Think about things that are true. Forget about the lies of the enemy. He's a liar, so don't buy into his lies. Think about things that are honest. Think about things that are just, right. Think about things that are pure. Think about things that are lovely. Think about things that have good report about it, good news. So think about those things. That's where your thoughts should be. Not about all the bad stuff and all the confusion and, you know, and this person did something bad to me. Forget about that. You're poisoning your heart. You're poisoning your thought life. You're poisoning, you know, the good things that God has for you. Focus on good stuff. When we're dealing with people, many times we spend too much time thinking about the bad stuff they've done. A good thing that you and I must focus on is, rather than focusing on the bad stuff and seeing the bad stuff, focus on all the good other things. The Word of God says we need to be tender-hearted. It tells us that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord. Vengeance belongs to me. So if vengeance belongs to the Lord, I better focus on other stuff. Let him deal with the bad stuff. It keeps you healthy, keeps you young, keeps you focused. We allow too much junk to crowd into our minds. And we live life suspecting everybody. You know, this person's planning this against me. This person, what are they saying over there? They're laughing. They must be laughing at me. How do you know? How do you know? Thoughts. I end with this aspect. I don't know, I think this is more of a joke than anything else. This guy talks about being invited to a wedding of a friend, and they were driving. And because the country is very insecure and there are armed bandits and robbers, so driving, the driver of the vehicle says he wants to stop because he wants to go into the bush to wee-wee. And the ladies in the vehicle said, "You can't do that. This is a dangerous place. You can't go there." He said they were all praying. He finally said, "Okay, let him go. He can't mess himself up here." So the guy goes into the bush and does this thing, comes back, and they drive, they get to the wedding. And they're at the wedding, seated, and they bring all this nice food, amazing food. For your sake, I won't use the Nigerian. So they have this nice steak, you know, all kinds of amazing food placed before them. So a pastor comes up and wants to pray for the couple and for the food. And he comes up and he says, "I pronounce the blessings of God on this family," and blah, 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 blah. And then he says, "And anything that will save me. Sorry, I'm messing it up. I'm thinking about this. And I'm laughing already. He says, anything that will come against this family, I banned it. But the guy is here, he's banned it. You know what a bandit is, right? They're thinking about the insecurity and bandits are coming. So knocks off their foot and they're running and they're running and running and running. And they got to a particular spot. The guy says to the pastor, how many bandits did you see? He says, I didn't see any bandits. I said, I bind it. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean you banned it? You mean you didn't see any bandits? No, I didn't see any bandits. I said, I bind it. You mean you bind it? Yes, that's what I'm saying. You mean I kicked off all that food that I could have eaten because of your prayer? Well, the mess was in his thinking. All they had was bandit. So why were you running? I was running because you guys were running. That's why I was running. Well, that is the life of so many people. They are running, they are messed up, they are confused because of other people's issues that they're carrying on. The problem started when they were driving down that lonely street or road and they were scared of bandits. And so when he had bandit, they are not there. They are here, but there was no bandit. So what are you running and afraid of? This question I need to ask everyone. What exactly are we afraid of so many times? You know how many times you've been afraid of stuff that never happened? And you wasted all that energy living in fear? Just live life already. You only live once. Just live life. If you live in your life based on what people are going to say, you're going to be miserable. So forget them. And just live your life in honor of God. Commit your ways and your works to the Lord. Let him establish your thoughts. He said, I will establish it. He didn't say people are going to establish it. He will establish it. He'll bring the right people around you to help you fulfill the destiny that He's ordained for you. And that's it. Amen? Praise God. Well, sorry I messed up that joke there, laughing. Bandit. one of my sisters sent me that clip. I laughed and laughed last night when I saw it. I laughed and laughed. And I'm still laughing. But it tells a story. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the wonderful privilege we have in you. Lord, continue to help us walk in righteousness and in truth. Let your name be exalted in us and through us. Let your peace garrison our hearts. Let, O God, favor all be bestowed richly upon our lives, that we may say that we have found favor in your sight, O God, and the sight of men. Help us to have our thoughts ordered by your word, and let every thought be established for your glory and honor. Thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are sanctified and made holy. Your anointing is destroying yokes and removing burdens, and your peace garrisons our hearts. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word of life to us. And as we honor you with our giving, may we be radical in faith, in our actions, And Lord, oh God, bless everyone that gives. Bless our gifts. Cause it, oh God, to accomplish much more than we ever thought possible. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you for participating in this study tonight. And we look forward to seeing you on Friday and next Sunday for the services. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. And may God continue to increase us in his loving kindness and tender mercies. God bless you. For